No, your Jane Eyre should end up with Mr. Rochester, I think. Mr. Rochester, they knew, had taken his wife and little Adele to the south of France, where they were, as far as the Bronte clan was aware, living in blissful obscurity and recovering from years of abuse and separation. But Jane still thought about Mr. Rochester from time to time, and it pained her. Charlotte could tell. She sighed. The truth was ever so much more exciting. But who'd believe it? Jane argued. Ghosts and possessions and people who trap the wayward spirits of the dead. What a tall tale indeed. Besides, we've all agreed that the society should be a secret, now that Mr. Blackwood is running things. No, it's my story in a way, my name anyway, and I want it to be a love story. Charlotte nodded. It was Jane's story, and Charlotte had felt privileged to be allowed to write any part of it at all. But at the same time, what she'd written made her feel sad for Jane. Jane had not actually been allowed to be part of any great love story. It was like she'd been robbed of her own well-deserved happy ending. But Jane claimed that she was content with her life. She turned back to her painting, which was turning out to be the best she'd ever attempted. She stretched her arms and gazed out on the hillside before them, where the spring-green grasses of the moors swayed in the breeze. But Jane was not painting the moors. She was not painting a young woman with golden hair and a white dress either. Today, Jane was working in all reds and oranges, reconstructing the vision of a fire. The House of Lords and Commons ablaze against a night sky. When she looked at it, she could still feel the heat of that fateful night, the smoke, the uncertainty, and then relief of their victory over Wellington. It had been a terrifying ordeal, but she also believed that it was the night her life had truly begun. "There is one mystery left to be solved, however," Charlotte said to Jane. "What mystery?" "Who killed Mr. Brocklehurst?" "Oh," Jane cringed. "That was Miss Temple." "The obvious choice," Charlotte sounded disappointed. "Well, Miss Temple gave him the tea. Miss Smith made the tea. Miss Scatcherd procured the poison." "Oh, so it was a group effort." For once, Charlotte didn't ask another question, because at the same time both girls heard the sound of hoofbeats on the road, then happy squeals from Emily and Anne inside the house, and presently Alexander appeared on the garden path. His gaze locked with Charlotte's, and she blushed, her eyes bright behind her glasses. "Mr. Blackwood," she murmured. "Miss Bronte, you're looking well." "To what do we owe the pleasure?" Jane asked. "Is everything all right?"
"As good as it can be, although we're eagerly awaiting your return," Alexander said. "We need our beacon."
Jane nodded. "Soon, but for now I am enjoying my time here." "I'll go," said Charlotte, and blushed again.
"We would gladly have you," Alexander replied, smiling with his eyes. "We could always use persons of great wit, intelligence, and veracity, and I would welcome it, especially."
He straightened his cravat and cleared his throat.
"But that's not what I've come about. There's been an interesting new development."
Charlotte and Jane exchanged glances. They didn't know how many more interesting developments they could handle.
"Come,"
Alexander bid them.
"There's someone I'd like you to meet."
They followed him back into the house and into the parlour, where they found a slender, smartly dressed young man standing at the window with his hands clasped behind him.
"Edward," Alexander said, "may I present Miss Charlotte Bronte and Miss Jane Eyre?"
The boy turned. Jane's breath caught. It wasn't that he was attractive, although he undoubtedly was. He was young, probably 16 or 17 at most, and he was tall, dark, handsome. His black hair had a charming curl to it as it fell to just below his ears, which made him seem slightly wild and wind-blown, or it could have been because he'd just been out in the Yorkshire wind. Who knows? His smile contained a hint of playfulness. His forehead, Jane thought, was the kind to inspire sculpture. But what had caused Jane to catch her breath was the young man's eyes. There was something so entirely familiar about his dark, intelligent eyes, a certain brooding intensity. She was overcome by the sudden notion that this boy possessed the ability not only to see her, standing there awkwardly in her blue dress and her paint-smeared smock gaping up at him, but into her as well, like he could see into her very soul.
"I'd like you to meet Mr. Edward Rochester," Alexander said.
"Edward? Rochester? Charlotte tilted her head, frowning.
The second, the boy clarified. As it happens, before Edward and Bertha Rochester withdrew from the society, before Edward was possessed and Bertha imprisoned in the attic, they had a son, Alexander explained. As her last act of defiance against the Duke, Bertha sent the boy away to the West Indies with Mr. Mason, to be raised by her family and kept secret and safe. But now it's time for him to be restored to us.
Edward Rochester, breathed Jane. The second, added Charlotte.
Hello, the boy said. He gave a slight bow. I'm so pleased to make your acquaintance, Miss Bronte.
He looked at Jane and smiled.
Miss Eyre, I've heard so much about you.
Say something, Jane,
hissed Charlotte.
Hello, said Jane.
This is Fiona Hardingham. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of My Plain Jane by Cynthia Hand, Brodie Ashton, and Jodie Meadows. Presented by Harper Teen and Harper Audio. This program was produced by John Marshall Media. Executive producer, Caitlin Gehring. Text copyright, 2018 by Cynthia Hand, Brodie Ashton, and Jodie Meadows. Production copyright, 2018 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.